ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying the second section of the second chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Brahmanandavalli. In our last class, we have been discussing about the second kosha, second covering. As we discussed earlier, this beautiful portion of the analysis, how many coverings we are identifying ourselves with falsely due to the influence of maya or ignorance and being led by monkeys through life after life. Out of infinite compassion, the Divine Lord has manifested in the form of the Upanishads. And all Upanishads, with one voice, teach every aspirant that we are not any of these five coverings, but we are pure Atman. How to reach that understanding? Progress is always in the form of understanding. That is the portion, that is the subject which we are going to discuss in this third kosha, Manomaya kosha. Everything is in the mind. As the classical saying goes, Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoho. I am existing is a thought. I am a knowing person. Even I am an ignorant person is also a thought in the mind. I am happy, I am unhappy, I am satisfied, I am not satisfied, I am stuck, I would like to progress. Thank God I have progressed a lot. Everything is a thought. Swamiji had given a beautiful illustration. If you throw a stone into a calm and quiet lake, it produces any number of waves, wavelets, bubbles. So, everything is a thought in the ocean of Brahman on which we are all really floating. Nothing happens to Brahman. Nothing is gained. Nothing is lost. And that is the purpose. We are caught in the net of Mahamaya. So, how to get rid of this Mahamaya? What is this net consisting of? Not one net, but one net with five layers. The thickest layer is called Annamaya Kosha. Within that there is a slightly thinner net covering. That is called Pranamaya Kosha. Within that even thinner, called Manomaya Kosha. Within that Vijnanamaya Kosha, and within that Anandamaya Kosha. Even this last fifth covering, Kosha means covering, like a scabbard covers a sword. So, the scabbard is not the sword. The soul is not even the Anandamaya Kosha, not to speak of other koshas. Why do we say so? Because a covering is that which can be taken off at any given time, put on at any given time. It is not the real nature of the person, but just like our dress. especially in winter, we put on lot of dresses. But as summer starts and as it progresses, we go on taking off one by one all the outer dressings. And a time will come when perhaps we throw off every piece of dress because our body cannot tolerate. Similarly, as we progress, what happens? Two things happen when we progress in life. Even not to speak of spiritual life, progress is always from the lower to the higher. And another name for it is evolution. But progress always means, let me first give a small illustration. You want to climb from the first ground or ground floor to the first floor. And there is a staircase. So you put your foot on the first step, then draw the second foot, and keeping the one foot, you put one, lift one foot and put it in the second one. So what is happening? Two things are happening. You are leaving behind the lower steps, one after the other. That is the first thing that happens. Second thing that happens is, you are approaching your destination nearer and still nearer. And when you step onto the second floor or first floor, you have completely left behind all the first floor, including its means. With this illustration, we are now in this Annamaya Kosha, ground floor. Let us say it is the ground floor. And we think that is the reality. And there is a definition of reality, Satyam. We have seen that earlier itself in the second chapter of this very Brahmanandavali. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Our true nature is truth, knowledge, or consciousness, and bliss. If we take the first word, truth, a definition is given for this easiness of understanding. That which never changes is Satyam. And taking that as a measurement, then when we look at, we think this, what we call this Annamaya Kosha, or this physical body with all its friends and enemies, possessions and dispossessions, everything is Satyam, reality. But what is the definition of Satyam? That which never changes. Our body is changing. Objects are changing. Even if you buy a new house, after some time you say it is a old house, 50 years old house. And your children will say 100 years old house. Everything is changing. And one day, birth is inevitably accompanied by death. So, nothing is certain. Rich man can become poor. Poor man can become rich. Famous can become infamous. And a non-entity can suddenly be shot into name and fame. Whatever it is, everything is changing. That is the point. And that which changes brings uncertainty, anxiety, terrible worry that we are accustomed, like people living in slum areas, and then we do not think much and try to derive whatever happiness, and that is because of ajnana. But a time will come, because our innate nature will not allow us to stop. Then, like the example in the staircase, we want to progress in life. Everybody wants to progress in life. Biologically, this is called biological evolution, supposedly discovered by Charles Darwin, about which our Vedanta had described so beautifully in the form of the creation long back. Atmana akasha sambhutaha, akashad vayuhu, vayur agnihi, agne rapaha, adhyah prithivi, prithivyam ushadayaha, ushadibhyo annam, annat rasamaya purushaha. But doesn't mean straight away human being is created. So the scientist's view of evolution, so the so-called inorganic has become organic, one-celled creature, and it goes on becoming two-celled, four-celled, eight-celled, multiple celled until it reaches this highest of the human instrument, human body. Vedanta accepts all this. So long before this evolutionary theory has come. But Vedanta doesn't stop there. Evolution means going back from where we came down. For that there is a word called involution. And scientists do not know about this involution. Think that jadapadartha, inorganic, has become suddenly organic, an very thoroughly unscientific explanation. Anyway, what I wanted to speak about this. So, a time will come when we would like to manifest our divinity. It will not allow us to simply keep quiet. So what we have to do at that time, when this restlessness to progress, to evolve, not merely physically, but spiritually, then man turns inward. As the Upanishad so beautifully says, that he turns his search from the external to the internal. So, antarmukhinatva will come. Now, that is the process being indicated in this panchakosha vivarana, when this ripeness comes. That is called adhikari. Absolute fit. Then he goes to a teacher or a guide, and the guide tells him, now you are totally identified with annamaya kosha, so you think. But you really, you are not identified with annamaya kosha. You are actually identified with your own individual annamaya kosha. That too, you are not really identified. What do I mean? Are we not thinking we are bodies? Not really. If we think we are the body, really, then an awareness comes instantaneously. I want to keep this body healthy and happy, and I will struggle. Like a sick person who wants to become as healthy as possible, as soon as possible, so we feel terribly anxious. And so, from deep within, energy comes. We have to observe the rules and regulations of diet, exercise, and actions, every activity. Man's life is not to be confined only to activity, that to unlimited activity. So everything falls into a disciplinary action. That is how we know we have become identified. That is only the first step. What I am talking about is that we consider our body as God, reality. Then reality will not allow us to become unreal. Ill health, unhealthiness, diseases, that is called unreality. Once we know this is the reality, we would not like to become unhealthy. Then we take all the necessary provisions, necessary steps to make this body, keep this body as healthy as possible, to look upon it as sacred. That is called, how do we know that we are seeing this body as reality? Because another name for reality is God. And those who believe in God consider everything connected with God as sacred. So if we consider this body as satyam, reality, then tremendous respect, reverence, which is proved by all the dietary regulations, food, etc., environment, friends, activity, time, space, everything is regulated automatically. That is how we know this body is sacred. That is what the scriptures advocate. Deho devalayo proktaha. Just as we dare not desanctify any temple, defile any temple, so also we will not defile this body. And as a consequence of this, the next step follows. What is the next step? Not only my body is sacred. The moment I know that my body is a sacred temple, I feel the same thing with regard to every living creature. This is the magical transformation in understanding. It comes, our reverence increases, then only we know my mother is God. my father is God, my teacher is God. And after that, expand slowly. That is all indicated in Atidhi Devo Bhava. Then Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara, etc. All those instructions will come. So, what is the first thing that happens? That this body becomes sacred. Next, everybody becomes sacred. This is called Vyasti Samashti Aikyam. That is to say, every spiritual, real spiritual aspirant, he starts identifying not some vague idea of God, but everybody. He looks upon everybody exactly as he knows what he is or what he thinks he is. And then suddenly he glimpses. Only then the door opens. No, I thought this body is sacred. But this body is ruled over, is sustained, it originates from, it is sustained by, and ultimately it goes back into its real cause. And that is what the Upanishad is talking, which we have discussed, called Pranamaya Kosha. Then the identity that Deho Devalayo, that Deha is Brahman, shifts from this Annamaya Kosha to Pranamaya Kosha. Then, as soon as we start identifying with Pranamaya Kosha, then we understand, the understanding dawns upon us that the Annamaya Kosha is not us, but it is a kosha. It is a covering, like an external dress. We don't need to make any effort. Automatically, effortlessly, even if there are no clothes, we do not feel bad about it, because we know. Sri Ramakrishna, we know, is called a Paramahamsa, and even if they do not have any clothes, anybody will not feel. Just as a baby becomes even more lovely, even though there are no clothes, because instinctively we feel. I know all of you understand what I am talking. As soon as you look at a baby, and then take the baby, even how tender that body is, you don't feel like hurting, even a little bit, just as we treat every softest of the flowers, we feel instinctively, very careful, not to hurt any part of the body of the baby. So like that, as soon as we identify ourselves with the Pranamaya Kosha, Annamaya Kosha becomes just as a dress. But it doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like with this Annamaya Kosha. Merely we know it is something which is helpful to keep the prana. Just as prana is necessary to sustain the body, body is necessary to keep the prana. A temple is necessary to keep the God there. God is necessary to make any building into a temple. But temple is also equally necessary. That's why great people, spiritual people, do not misuse this human body. Time becomes very precious. Mind becomes even more precious. Spending life becomes very, very sacred and precious. So that automatically it comes. But the point is Annamaya Kosha doesn't affect. That is the meaning of it is becoming a dress. Dress is necessary, but we don't feel our identity, and we use it as a covering for the body. In exactly in a similar manner, we use this Annamaya Kosha to help us maintain this Pranamaya Kosha. And then we have seen Mukhya Prana. Why is it called Pranamaya Kosha? The second kosha is called Pranamaya Kosha. Why is it called? Because it is full of prana only. The head is prana, right hand is prana, left hand is prana, legs are prana, and the whole middle part from the downwards from the throat or neck until where the legs begin. That is called the middle part. So that is what makes the whole body stable. So that is becomes most important. These five parts are mentioned both as a body of a bird and here body of our own human body. So this pranamaya kosha, what is the head? Prana is the head. Tasya prana eva shiraha, etc., etc. And then we see that immediately the apana vayu, yana vayu, udana vayu, samana vayu. The whole pranamaya kosha is only full of prana, and because it functions in five different ways and does five different activities to keep this annamaya kosha intact, and also manamaya kosha, and also vijnanamaya kosha, and also anandamaya kosha. So pranamaya kosha is described as full of prana, and that is necessary. Every kosha is necessary for every other kosha, but the higher we identify with the higher kosha, the lower koshas do not affect us. That is the understanding. When we identify ourselves with the pranamaya kosha, birth and death of the body do not pose any problem for us. Just as we are not affected by throwing away, or when the cloth's dress becomes holy, we do not mind. We are in fact eager to do it because we know we are not that dress. But at this stage, second stage, prana becomes very important. So my prana is the very foundation for the entire life cycle to continue. So what is the meaning of prana becomes reality? Prana becomes satyam. Prana becomes Brahman. That means I am prana devata. I am Brahman. Prana is Brahman. That feeling must come. And once that feeling comes, that identity, unshakable, unforgettable, inseparable identity with the pranamaya kosha comes, something magical takes place. What is that? My prana is sacred because it is God. If it is God, I have to treat this pranamaya kosha as Brahman. That is called Brahmopasana. My prana becomes very sacred. And as soon as that understanding takes possession of us, immediately you know what happens? Everybody's prana, every prani becomes equally sacred. Sri Ramakrishna says so many times, I see an insect crawling. I see Brahman himself crawling in the form of that insect. Not one insect. You take all the uncountable trillions or jillions and jillions of every prana, whether it is, even if you take one single species, and then you will see how many jillions are there, countless are there, whether it is birds or insects or butterflies like that, grasshopper like that, not to speak of animals, who can count? And that is only on this earth. Who knows how many earths, such earths are there? We do not know. So this is what happens, just like what happened when we considered our body as sacred temple of God. So instantaneously, whenever we look at any body, it becomes a temple of God. Similarly, when we identify with the pranamaya kosha, just as we consider our pranamaya kosha as God himself, Brahman himself, reality itself, satyam, then we take all the care to keep this prana in healthy condition, just like the body. That means what? That our thoughts influence our pranas, and then we want to be keeping it very sacred, and that frees us and gives us tremendous amount of prana. Thus, we have respect with the other pranis. When this identity is achieved, some miracles also can happen. What are the miracles? Then we see that if somebody is suffering, it is due to less flow of prana. And the moment we look at them, touch them, and they can be also imbued with our prana. That is called pranic healing. This is only a small part of what happens, what powers this person who identifies with pranamaya kosha can obtain, and his words become so enthusiastic. That is what we call, Swami Turiyananda calls, and whenever anybody heard Swami Vivekananda speaking, even a dead body jumps up and says, let me listen. It is so life-giving. But he usually turned to the listeners, audience, and said, but when you people open your mouth, I feel like being dead, because there is no life, there is no truth. But here is the reality, satyam. That is what we have seen in the pranamaya kosha. So, what happens? That is being discussed. Actually, this should have been the appendix for the second section, that is pranamaya kosha section, but it starts with the third section. I think there is a purpose for that. So, every time we are reminded, these are not empty teachings, that you get a tremendous result. We will read it and discuss the meaning briefly. Pranam devaha anupranamti. Remember, we have entered into the description of the manomaya kosha. Pranam devaha anupranamti. Manushyaha pashavaschaye. Pranohi bhutanam ayuhu. Tasmat sarvayushamuchyate. Sarvamevatta ayuryanti. E pranam brahmopasate. Pranohi bhutanam ayuhu. Tasmat sarvayushamuchyate iti. The gods, here gods means our sense organs, they are able to function because they breathe in prana. They breathe after the prana. So also men and cattle and every creature. For the prana is the life of every creature. Therefore it is called the life of all. Sarva Ayusham. Those who contemplate the prana as a Brahman obtain a full life. For the prana is the life of all creatures. Therefore it is called the life of all. So this is the brief meaning. What it means is, those who know that we are prana brahmas. Our prana is satyam. At this stage of our progress, my progress, I know my pranamaya kosha is none other than Brahman. Brahman itself is manifesting in the form of my prana. It is very sacred because pranamaya kosha encloses the shrine, sanctum sanctorum of Brahman. So, it has to be looked upon as sacred. It has to be used to worship that divine. Every activity is prana brahma upasaka does is a worship actually. Such a person, what does he get? So, if he can succeed in thinking that my pranamaya kosha is Brahman, so everybody's prana is also Brahman. Such a person is called prana brahma upasaka. Then, what is the result of that? That person will live a full life, and whole life, his pranas will be at the highest functioning level. That means he will be indescribably more happy, more healthy, and he can be a great leader. He can enthuse other people with his own enthusiasm, inspiration. Only such a person, you have to understand, is imbued with this tremendous manifestation of prana. That is what he says. So what happens? So now the Upanishad says that if anyone worships prana as Brahman, that person attains the full span of life, sarvayushaha. That means there is nothing untoward will happen. Mishap will not happen. But what we need to understand, as we discussed it earlier, that according to Prarabdha Karma, he may live one day, he may live 10 years or 100 years, but so long as he lives, he will be full of prana, full of life, full of joy. So that is what we need to understand. And Shankaracharya's commentary here, is a beautiful law about contemplation. What is contemplation? Yad gunakam brahmopaste saha tad gunabhat bhavati. In whichever way we contemplate God, then we become, we develop that particular ideal. If somebody says God is the greatest fame, he becomes such a contemplative, becomes famous. God is full of wealth. This upasaka becomes full of wealth. God is full of knowledge. This upasaka becomes full of knowledge. God is most compassionate being. This person becomes most compassionate. Very simple psychology. Whatever thoughts we cherish all the time, we become that. We are what we think with life, what thoughts we think, not passing weak thoughts, stray thoughts, restless thoughts, but what catches hold of really, what we really truly believe, Shraddha, we become that. A student becomes best student, a doctor becomes best doctor, a teacher becomes best teacher, a cook becomes best cook, and if we have to go by Swami Vivekananda's words, a fisherman becomes a better, best fisherman, a student becomes best student, a cook becomes the best, very best cook, because his very prana enters into that food. And you may not believe it, when a mother cooks for her child, may not be very tasty, but it will fill the baby with the greatest prana. Why? Because mother's thoughts enter into the food. So this is the general rule. With whatever quality we endow Brahman and contemplate him, we become that. Now, having given the phala, the Upanishad continues, tasya yesha eva sharira atma yah purvasya tasmadva etasmat pranamayat anyuantara atma manomayah tenaisha purnah sava yesha purusha vidha eva tasya purusha vidhatam anvayam purusha vidha. This sheath of the prana, remember, this is in the manomaya kosha, these mantras. This pranamaya kosha, sheath of the prana, pranamaya kosha, sheath of the prana, is the embodied soul of the former. Former means what? Annamaya kosha. So, pranamaya kosha is the atma of the annamaya kosha. Similarly, the Upanishad now wants to say, there is another real soul, which is the very soul of pranamaya kosha, that which is the cause of the pranamaya kosha, that which originates the pranamaya kosha, that which sustains the prana, and into which the prana in the end merges. That is what Upanishad wants to say. Verily, different from this sheath, from this pranamaya kosha, which consists of the essence of the prana, but within it, deep inside, subtler, is another self, which consists of the mind, anomaya kosha. And by this, the former is filled. This manomaya kosha fills the pranamaya kosha. This too, that means the manomaya kosha too, has the shape of a man, like the human shape of the pranamaya kosha. This is the human shape of the latter. Why pranamaya kosha as a human shape? That is because it is thinking for the sake of contemplation. Actually, pranamaya kosha has no form. Just like water doesn't have any form, any taste, etc., pranamaya kosha doesn't have any form. But for the sake of thinking, contemplation, it is endowed with, for the sake of purely contemplation, like the human body. And the human body is contemplated because of what? Not because there is another kosha, which is outer layer of the annamaya kosha. No. It starts with annamaya kosha, and we are all very familiar for janma janmantara, many lives, about our own human body and every body that we took. If somebody was born as a cow, so long as he is in that, he thinks he knows and he identifies with that cow body. Just like that, this is for contemplation. So, pranamaya kosha borrows the imagery of the human body, and manomaya kosha also, for the sake of contemplation, is imagined just like purusha pidha eva, shape of the latter. That means pranamaya kosha, which is nothing but like our annamaya kosha body, like our physical body. Let us say manomaya kosha also is imagined for the sake of contemplation as what? As only like a human body. If it is got human body, like pranamaya kosha, annamaya kosha, the five limbs are mentioned here. What are those limbs? Tasya yajureva siraha, rig dakshina pakshaha, sama uttara pakshaha, adesha atma, atharvangi rasaha puchyam pratishtha, tadapi esha shloko bhavati. So the Yajurveda is its head, the Rigveda is its right wing, the Samaveda is its left wing, the teaching, Adesha. Adesha is Esha Adeshaha, Esha Upadeshaha, Esha Vedopanishad, Sikshavalli, as in 11th Nuvaka. Adesha means commandment. Commandment means what? I have taught you, put it into practice. A government passes certain rules. These are called motorway rules or the traffic light rules. Adesha. It is not a request. So, here it is called teaching and it is as good as commandments is its trunk. And hymns of Adharvana Veda, Nangirasa are its tail, are its support. And interior and subtler than the Pranamaya Kosha is this Manomaya Kosha, the sheet of the mind. And this Manomaya Kosha fills the entire Pranamaya Kosha. This Manomaya Kosha also is a human form, just like a human form. And about this also, there is a Rig Mantra. Every Kosha ends. So there is a Rig Mantra which supports this teaching in this Yajurveda Mantra. Now, what are we talking about? What is the mind? As we all know, mind is only thoughts, vrittis, happiness, unhappiness, good and evil. Even this is cold, this is not cold. When a person is anesthetized, he will not remember anything. So, the mind is nothing but thoughts. Thoughts are nothing but manifestations of various types of knowledge. Knowledge is of two types, secular knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And every Veda has two parts as we all know. The first part of every Veda is called Karma Kanda. The second part of every Veda is called Jnana Kanda. And we have to start our journey with Karma Kanda and slowly progress so that we become fit to enter into the knowledge portion. And slowly, that is how evolution or progress towards reality is achieved. So what is the mind? Full of vritti. Vritti means thought. What is a thought? Nothing but pieces of knowledge, jnanam. And what type of knowledge? Both secular and spiritual. And what are Vedas? It is nothing but pure knowledge, both about spirituality and also secular world. So, listen carefully. Because, as I said, Karma Kanda is meant for what? Now, nowadays people are using AI, artificial intelligence. For what? For knowledge only. And then with that, they want to earn their money. They want to, after earning money, they want to possess a house. And then they want to procure various things of enjoyable things. That is one side. And they wish to avoid all unhappiness through various activities. So, what is it? I want to be happy. I don't want to be unhappy. I want to live. I don't want to die. I want knowledge. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to be happy. I don't want to be unhappy. Until we realize God, we are swinging like Brahma Chakra, going up and down. Sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy. Oh, our constant effort is how to reduce the suffering, unhappiness, and progress in towards greater and greater happiness. And here the Vedas come in. And today we will discuss briefly about it. Tasya Yajura Eva Shiraha. We are talking about Manomaya Kosha. Imagine the mind like a human body. And just like human body, there is a head, there is a right hand, there is a left hand, there is a trunk. Trunk means from below the head until where the legs start, until that place, that is called trunk. And then two legs are there. So head plus two hands, three, plus the trunk, four, plus the legs, five parts. That completes the wholeness of the body, complete body description. So here it says, Yajuhu eva siraha. Yaju means Yajurveda is the head. Rigveda is the right hand. Samaveda is the left hand. Adesha means commandments in these Vedas. That is called the trunk. All these Vedas, they not only tell you what is the goal, they also show the way and says you have to walk towards your goal, and that is called Adesha. Do this, do not do this. All the scriptures contain what? Vidhi and Nishedha. Do this, do not do this. Nothing else. You understand what Vedas are. Have faith in them and follow their instructions. And that instructions will make your, it will support your head, your hands, your leg, your whole life. This is how we have to contemplate the body called mental body, manasika sharira. And then we have talked about Yajurveda. As we know, there are four Vedas, Yajurveda, Rigveda, Samaveda, and of course, Atharvana Veda. This Atharvana Veda was the discovery of two rishis. One is called Atharvana, another is called Angirasa. And both of them combined together had discovered many marvelous things. And that is why they are called Puccham. Puccham means what? The legs which support, the legs which help us to move from one place to the other place. It can be forward, it can be backward, etc. This is the description of the mental body. Now very briefly, in today's talk, I want to tell. Every human being, any human being, you take. What is it the person wants? Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amrutangamaya. I want to live happily with full knowledge as long as possible. I want to live, but I don't want to live without any joy. Therefore, I want to live with as much happiness as possible. And how can I live with the maximum happiness available to me? For that, do's and don'ts. Don't eat poison. Eat healthy food. And food doesn't mean only for the physical body. Food is meant for prana. Actually, food is converted into prana. And more important, food is very necessary for the mind. The mental food is most important food. Because what we feed gives us strength, and this strength helps the buddhi, jnanamaya kosha, to come to the right decision. If you send somebody to get some information, either you send that person out, or he sits in front of a console and goes on taking advantage of this AI intelligence. But what is the purpose? He wants, what is the best way to get, do something. Whether it is medical field, calculation field, book field, medical, any field, economic field, person wants to gain something. That knowledge he wants to gain with the help of this AI. That is all its purpose. But AI doesn't give us, truly it doesn't give us, unless we seek for it, that okay, you can get all these things, but can it make you happy? To become happy, a different set of rules, regulations within Nishedha are necessary. generally we all neglect it. So, obtainment of this knowledge is the goal. Then, when the mind gets the right information and it presents this information to its master, which is called Vijnanamaya Kosha, which is interior to this Manomaya Kosha, and then the Vijnanamaya Kosha, it weighs this and that and comes to a decision and gives the commandment, this is my commandment, put it into practice. That is how every second whatever we do, it is the buddhi which is involved in making us do. Otherwise, if we are singing what to do, what not to do or not to do, to be or not to be in the words of Shakespeare, we will be nowhere, we'll be going round and round. So this is the, in short, that Vedas tell us what is the goal of life and how to progress. First to progress, get happiness through secular activities. What type of secular activities, like rituals, etc., which will give whatever we want, make our Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha very happy. And when we have reached a ripening state, better understanding, then the very Veda, now you have passed the lower classes, now you can enter into the university, and that is called Jnana Kanda. This is how this Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmanandavali, remember all this Panchakosha Vivarana is for the purpose, for the sake of taking us to Brahman. So that as Brahman, we can become Anandamaya and we can be blissful as our very nature, not going to obtain bliss, but to become bliss itself. Beautiful thoughts are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.